Monday Morning Joe podcast is presented by Lakeland Auto Mall Ford and Hyundai and Discount Garage Doors. At Lakeland Auto Mall Ford and Hyundai, start your new year off with a lower payment on hundreds of new Ford and Hyundai vehicles. With every new vehicle purchase, get their nationwide lifetime warranty. You know all about that. And 1 year free scheduled maintenance. Plus, get up to $12,000 off new Fords, up to $8,000 off new Hyundais with 0% APR for up to 72 months and no payments for 3 months. Not sure you're ready to buy? Try their DealMaker tool online. Shop by your payment. Value your trade-in. Pick the vehicle that's right for you. Save hours off the time it takes to buy a car by starting your purchase online. LakelandAutoMall.com, LakelandFord.com, LakelandHyundai.com. You know where to go. And don't forget, all you Bucks fans, you stick carriers, you Monday Morning Joe podcast listeners, get your best deal online at LakelandFord.com. And then, no gimmick, get an additional $500 off your best deal. Just see manager Sean Sullivan today. Get it started at LakelandFord.com. Discount Garage Doors. The name says it all. Discount Garage Doors, 1-866-420-DOOR, or their website, dgdoors.com. They're available 7 days a week to come to your house at no charge and give you a complete diagnosis of whatever's going on with your garage door, or even just a price for a new door. Same day free service call, 7 days a week. It really sets Discount Garage Doors apart. In addition to them being a great local company, they serve 18 counties across Florida, and they're from right here in the Tampa Bay area. We love Discount Garage Doors. Use your 10% off Joe Bucks Fan discount code, dgdoors.com. New doors, repairs, whatever you need, dgdoors.com. All right, it's Monday. Happy Martin Luther King Day to everyone. Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. That is me. I'm the voice, one of the Joes here at JoeBucksFan.com. This is my podcast where I get to sort of freewheel and talk to you. And one last thank you, not last thank you, but last for now. Thank you to Discount Garage Doors and Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai. Their sponsorship support really means the world to me. As you know, JoeBucksFan.com, we're a small business. You know, we're the American dream, if you will, covering this great football team known as the Buccaneers. We are in our, it's just about, we're 9.5 years in, so we've had a lot of no playoff runs as Joe, but perhaps it's the Joe Bucks fan jinx. I don't know what it is. But seriously, Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai, Discount Garage Doors, they're great local companies, and we like to think we are too here at JoeBucksFan.com. We're working together to let you know about them, and they help support us, and we appreciate your support of them. And get it started online. Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai.com. Discount Garage Doors is at dgdoors.com. Now, I'm glad I got to this podcast a little bit later today. Things are always coming up for me that make it tough to do the podcast I want to do when I want to do it, but you know what? It's Monday Morning Joe, but it doesn't mean it has to be Monday morning, right? So here we are Monday. Maybe you're driving home from work. Maybe you're just chilling at work in the afternoon, catching the podcast. And I'm glad I waited because word came via tweet today from Rick Stroud, Tampa Bay Times beat writer, that, no surprise, but maybe a little surprise for those of you holding out hope, Stroud's tweet said the Bucks have exercised their contract to bring the whole staff back, all the assistant coaches whose contracts were up, they exercised an option they had. Everybody's coming back for 2018. And Stroud, of course, made a little note that, hey, there could be some tweaks and changes, which we all know. Of course, there could be. But the news is everybody's coming back. Now, typically, NFL assistant coaches, take a minute, go ahead and vomit. Go ahead, no problem. NFL assistant coaches typically sign two-year deals. Coordinators are sometimes different, but your standard assistant coach, your quarterback's coach, your linebacker's coach, even a lot of coordinators, they sign a two-year contract. Standard, sometimes there's an option, sometimes there's not, but apparently it looks like the Bucs had an option, and it wouldn't surprise me that they might have had a third-year option on all these coaches. Anyway, regardless, and there were some unique situations because Dirk Cutter brought back Lovey's staff, right? The offensive line coach, the George Warhop, the a lot of guys from Lovey's staff were retained. Running backs coach Tim Spencer. So how those contracts all broke down, it doesn't matter. The point is these guys are coming back. the defensive coaches might make you pull your hair out. So what does this mean, right? To me, it stinks. Something just smells fishy, right? Because let's use a little logic and take a little emotion out of it as Bucks fans. The defense was bad last year, 32nd ranked in the NFL. 2 years in a row, they're in the bottom third of giving up points, and they've had some highs and lows. They've done some good things, but you know what? Every defense does some good things. You're supposed to do some good things. The Bucks defense is bad. It's bad. Have players developed? I don't see it on the defensive line. I don't see it in the secondary much. A little bit. We've had some. It's just not good. So, in theory, you want to believe in your heart that your general manager and the head coach evaluates all the guys on the staff along with the coordinators and does a self-scouting evaluation, right? Just like many of you have on your job. If you're working in corporate America anywhere, you're going to get a review at the end of the year. Did you meet needs? Did you exceed needs? All that kind of BS that I'm so glad I'm not a part of anymore. So these Bucks coaches were evaluated after the season. That's part of the process. The coaches get evaluated. And well, I think what sticks in everybody's craw and just freaks out Bucks fans right now is all of these guys got a passing grade. All of them? Really? Every last one of them? And if you want to believe your team wants to do everything it can to win, then part of that is finding the best possible coaches. So essentially, if what Stroud reports is true, then the Bucks have sort of decided, you know what? We have the best assistant coaches in the league. Despite all these changes everywhere, all these guys getting freed up, all these assistants available to be snatched away or interviewed, whatever, the Bucks theoretically have decided we have the best defensive coaching staff money can buy, the best we can get. We've evaluated it and we like our guys. Come on. It just feels disingenuous. And I noted in a story on JoeBucksFan.com, I'm going to start the long process, probably a long process, to research, has there ever been an NFL defense, ever, that finished 32nd ranked in the league, that's yards allowed, the most porous defense, which if you think about the fact that the Bucks offense put a lot of yardage up and held the ball reasonably well, for the Bucks defense to allow the most yardage, that's brutal. But I'm going to put in the research to find out what's the last team to finish ranked 32nd in the league in defense and keep all the darn coaches. And not, I mean, where's the accountability? I mean, Dirk Cutter says that, okay, the talent on this team, he wouldn't back off when I asked him at the end of the year news conference. I asked him, hey, coach, did you sort of overvalue the talent? And Cutter said, no, we got talent on this team. No, I won't back off that at all. Okay, so you have talent, and now you think the coaches are the best money can buy. What gives? I don't like the smell of this offseason. It stinks so far. We're 2 weeks in. Something is really stinky. I don't know if I had to hypothesize, is it the Glazers saying, hey, look, Dirk, we brought you back. Mike Smith, all right, you come back. That means we believe in you. Keep everything the way it is. We don't want to spend any more money, and we'll let some of these contracts, rather than buy them out with you two, we'll let them go rather than invest in new assistant coaches that we have to pay for 2 years or 3 years. We'll just take 1 year options on all the guys we have and we'll save some money. And if you guys are what we think you are, you'll be just fine. I don't know, but I don't like that. That's a stinky attitude. And I understand it's a business, but as a fan, you don't have to like it. Right? And I hope what I expressed was clear there, meaning that maybe the Glazers said, all right, guys, you think you got a good staff? Let's see you do it again. And we don't want to spend any more money on the staff. We already overpaid Mike Smith to stick around and to extend his deal. We've got these one-year options on assistant coaches. Cutter, we don't want to replace you and get a new coach. Jason Light, you bless these guys and you got 1 year left. Let's see what everybody can do. And I hope that's not the case, but it smells like it right now. We'll see. There's still time to add assistants, still time to add maybe a consultant or two. And what do I mean when I say coaching consultant? Okay, it's nice to throw some words out there, but what does that really mean? Well, let's go to Ali Marpet. This has got the guy making a huge transition last year from guard to center after in college he had the huge transition from Division III left tackle to NFL right guard, and then they made him a center last year. Controversial move. How well it worked, I don't know. Marpet did miss five games, second year out of three where he's had an injury that cost him time. Anyway, the Bucks. I'll tell you this, the Bucks love him at center. They like the way he finished out his portion of the season, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon, although I'd love to see the Bucks draft a center, move Marpet back to right guard and stop monkeying around. I think there's value in getting the most out of Marpet at guard, where I think he was better. But that's not just me talking. There are other people I've talked to, quoted Anthony Becht on that subject. Whatever. Let's get over that for the time being. And how do we make Marpet better? How do we make him better? Well, Kevin Mawai is out there. Kevin Mawai, longtime center, played for a handful of teams, had his best years with the Jets. He's on this year's Hall of Fame finalists on the ballot. I'm pretty sure he was there last year as well, or at least a semifinalist last year. Regardless, Mawai did some coaching with the Bears. He came in there after he retired, and he was responsible for transforming the Bears. Cody Whitehair, who's their starting center, Mawai was responsible from transforming that guy from a guard to a center. And Mawai himself broke into the league in Seattle as a guard and transformed and became a Hall of Fame center. Hall of Fame caliber center. So he's a guy who's out there who, is it unreasonable to think the Bucks could throw some money at him and say, hey, we want you to work with Marpet. Come for training camp. Spend 2 or 3 months on staff. Maybe make him an assistant offensive line coach. I don't know. But there are guys out there who are willing to work, to consult, and who can make your team better. I think that's one good example of something I'm talking about. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan, my colleague, he has talked about getting Bruce Arians in here. And I wrote about him last week, getting Bruce Arians in to work with Jameis. Arians has a long history of being a quarterback whisperer. And the story we had on JoeBucksFan.com was that Arians did an interview with Peter King. And he told King, I'll be in training camp next year. Remember, Arians resigned as head coach of the Cardinals. He told Peter King he would be in a training camp, maybe with the Jets, and the presumption was he would be doing a little coaching next year. Well, why not in Tampa? I mean, come on. Another set of eyes in here to maybe figure out why this team is so terrible scoring points in the first half. Maybe Arians can help. But he's worked with Jameis as a youth. He worked with him when he was a kid. And Arians has worked with Peyton Manning. The list goes on. Roethlisberger. There are others. Andrew Luck. And he's had a lot of success. Maybe he can get through to Jameis in a different way. It upsets me to think that the team would have such either egos or be so tight-wadded money-wise where they don't want other voices in here trying to help. And it goes back, of course, to keeping the same staff intact. I mean, can't we do something to help these guys? I mean, businesses hire consultants all the time. Salesforce, I worked in sales for many years. Gosh, I always had some sort of consultant coming in trying to figure out why you're not doing better. And sometimes they offer a nugget. Most of the time, it's a waste of time. But sometimes they offer a nugget why things aren't doing well, or sometimes they change a process for the better. Are the Bucks so good at 5-11 where they are above this kind of thing? I sure hope not, but I don't know. I'm sort of at a loss with the Bucks with where they are right now, the status quo, as I've called it. I mean, we have a lot of hope. We got to hope now that Jason Light isn't going to do anything desperate and will make decisions based on what's best for the franchise, not what's best to keep his job. And sometimes those go hand in hand, but sometimes they don't. And Jason Light's human. I expect him to want to keep his job and be in survival mode, especially when it's clear that the Glazers are, you know, they probably exhausted all their patience. You know, they gave everybody one more year. Let's go. I don't think the Glazers have another year of status quo, or status woe, whatever you want to call it, in them. So you've got a general manager now who is in a high pressure situation. Head coach, high pressure situation. Does that affect the draft? Is that right? Is it a philosophical thing? You know, do you stick to your philosophy and hope that it's respected, or do you go bank some bold moves to jumpstart this thing in a hurry to try to, you know, fix the failures that you've had? And can you even recognize the failures that you've had? So it's interesting. It's sort of team building versus picking players. And I think that nuance gets lost all the time. It's an art form. It's what the great organizations do. They build a team. They don't just have good drafts or have good players. They have good teams. And I never like to include New England because they're such an outlier with everything. They're so unique and bizarre in the way the whole organization has been run. They're a standard that's beyond attainable, in my opinion. But there are many other good, strong organizations. So, you know, we can look at Jason Light's drafts and we can say he had a great draft in 2015. He had what looks like a real good draft last year. Picked four players who could probably play on a lot of teams in the NFL, if not all of them. I might be stretching it a bit, but you've got Godwin, who's legitimate. You've got O.J. Howard, who's legit. Kendall Beckwith, Justin Evans. You know, those are good players. Were those the best team-building choices for this club? Team-building. Not just picking players. Safarian Jenkins, that draft. Mike Evans, Charles Sims, Kevin Pamphiel. And, of course, we know the failures of the 2016 draft. But you got to be a team builder, not just a picker of players. I don't think you could just score a GM on percentages. Oh, well, he had this many guys work out. It just doesn't work that way. It's got to be some sort of mixture of both. That's why wins are important. And that's why Jason Light isn't stuck in this spot where, hey, he's got to have a team win next year. Otherwise, he knows that his job is done. And the flip side of that is NFL teams can turn around quickly. We see it all the time. But a lot of times what we see turning around is the result of a philosophy that was building and a lot of people not recognizing talent. Now, this is something I talked about a little bit or touched on. I asked Ira Kaufman about this on tomorrow's Ira Kaufman podcast. We already recorded it. But you look at Jacksonville. Barry Church, safety and free agency from the Cowboys, worked out very well for them. We got the other Cowboys safety, J.J. Wilcox, who we got rid of quickly to bring in T.J. Ward, who was a locker room mess and, you know, didn't play well. Didn't know how to tackle and just was not the guy. He was in Denver. So that was a big miss, but it was also not just a miss with Ward. There were other safeties out there, and Ward was a locker room problem. I can, you know, just be honest with you there from what I know that I can't give you a lot of details on. So Jacksonville, they hit on Barry Church. They hit on A.J. Boye, big money cornerback. They hit on Malik Jackson, huge money defensive tackle a couple years ago from the Broncos. Calais Campbell, we all know how they nailed him. Paul Posluszny, anchor in the middle of the defense there for a while. Free agents. They got five key free agents with significant cash starting. Is Jason Light willing to do something like that? Is he willing to spend that kind of money? Does he have to? A lot of questions in front of Light and a lot of fans of how you want to view this team. And really, frankly, a lot of questions with the Glazers. Are the Glazers going to let these guys operate, let Light operate in the best interest of the franchise? Or are they going to just sort of let them know, hey, fix this thing in a hurry or you're out? And that can lead to bold moves that maybe aren't smart. One thing I'd love to hear from some of you, if you want to email me, I am at joe@joebucksfan.com. joe@joebucksfan.com. I would love to hear, and I can talk about them on the podcast because there's unlimited ideas out there. I'd love to hear some of your ideas for a bold move by the Bucks, by Jason Light. A bold move, truly something out of the box, some real unique thinking, a bold move to make this team better, to maybe sacrifice in one area to try to get better somewhere else. I'll throw one at you right now. I'm not advocating for it. It's just a thought. I've already talked about maybe trading, I don't know if I talked about it on this podcast, but maybe trading DeSean Jackson for whatever you can get, assuming that it's reasonable, and going all in on Chris Godwin. And then maybe signing some free agency receiver depth. And if you can get a pick for DeSean Jackson, a third round pick, or whatever you can, or a player, maybe somebody's cornerback with potential. I don't know. But that would be something that would be bold, to go all in on Godwin, backfill a little bit in free agency at receiver, and go from there. But that was something I suggested a while ago. What about Kendall Beckwith? Kendall Beckwith, third linebacker on this team. A guy, if they're going to keep this defense, keep this situation, he's going to be on the field maybe half the time. Because, you know what, if they actually get defensive ends this year, remember, Beckwith was playing his share of left defensive end, rushing on passing downs, totally out of place for him, was not good at it, as we saw. No knock on him, but he's not a defensive end. But Beckwith, if this defense is running properly next year with some new defensive ends, either in the draft or a couple of decent guys, even average defensive ends, can we get those in free agency? Well, Beckwith is going to be a part-time player in this defense with Quan Alexander and Levante David. That's just the reality. And you know what? Devontae Bond, who was the guy they had pegged to be a starter this year, he got a late start. Beckwith was excellent. I'm not knocking Beckwith here, but Bond is pretty good. He's a good tackler, and I think the more time he gets, he'll be pretty good. The Bucs' fifth-round pick from two seasons ago. So Bond is entering his third year. So my point with Beckwith is, what about getting rid of him? If you can get something good. If a team looks at his film and says, you know what, Beckwith can be our middle linebacker of the future. You know what, Beckwith is versatile. We want this guy. We'll cough up a second-round pick for Kendall Beckwith, who some people thought had a first-round grade on him, or would have had it if he didn't have the knee injury coming out of LSU. You know, that's a bold move. That's the regime saying, you know what, if we can get this second-round pick and target this guy, and we can get a defensive end for Beckwith that we like in the draft, we'll do it. He's somebody I would definitely target for a bold move. I'm not advocating dump Kendall Beckwith because he sucks. I'm saying that the Bucs have to do something here to make some bold moves, and I don't want to see the regime go crazy with stupid moves, with throwing prayers in free agency to old guys if they don't have to. At least some, why not? But you know, there's got to be some strategy here that might work. And you know what? Maybe Beckwith is that guy. Something else. So, but you know what? You want to email me your thoughts? I've got other ones. We can play with them. We got a long off season. We got about 2 months till the free agency dinner bell rings, about 4 or 5 weeks until restricted free agency tags and all that other stuff starts. So we've got time, and I'd love to hear what you think. I've got some other ideas. Again, I'm not going to throw them all out here right now in a big rambling form, but Kendall Beckwith, he's a guy I would explore. Throw it out there. Call some teams. You never know what's going to come back. You never know. You know, a lot of guys scouted, all these teams really scouted Beckwith in the draft. They know what his ability was. They know what panned out. They saw him play three different positions. You never know. And sure, would I love to have him on the Bucs for years to come? Great. But I'd also like to win some damn games and see this team be bold and move quickly. So if the Glazers, my point is, if the Glazers are telling Jason Light, you better turn this thing around in a hurry, man. We're going to bring all your guys back, and you better show us that we made the right choice. Well, some sort of big decisions are going to have to be made, and maybe Beckwith is that guy. So just throwing it out there. It's fun to think about, fun to explore that stuff as we hit the off season. Now, one of the things I wrote about on JoeBucksFan.com during these playoffs is, again, just some bigger picture thinking, right? Because we're all, sometimes, some of us anyway, we try to think about, what is Jason Light thinking? What was he thinking? Was there a strategy? Where was the gamble? What was going on? You know, that's just kind of what we do. So at least it's what I do, right? And, you know, and I know there are plenty of readers, listeners who, hey, you walk into the shower and you start thinking, what are the Bucks going to do? What's going on? This, what, you know, you're obsessed. You love it. You take it to bed with you. You take it to the shower with you. You take it to work with you. It's all Bucks 24/7. That's why you're listening. And I get it. I totally get it. I'm with you. I'm right there with you. I just get to do it for a living. I get to actually talk to Jason Light to have a little bit more insight. Some of our conversations are, well, you know what? It's kind of funny. You know, when you're in the media and you talk to somebody in power, like a Light or a Cutter, it's hard because you listen. It's like I have a job to do in a sense, although maybe that sounds silly, but my job is to be straight with the people who value my opinion, right? Value what Joe Bucks Fan does, our reporting, our opinion, our sharing, our perspective, whatever. I got to be straight with you guys. And if I can't be straight with you guys, doesn't work. Now, I know that being straight with you guys sometimes upsets people at One Buck Place. And they have to deal with that as well. You know, they have to figure out, am I being fair? Am I being unduly harsh? What's going on? We're all entitled to opinions. I mean, heck, a general manager will tell you, hey, I whiff 35% of the time, 40% of the time in the draft, and that makes me a good general manager. So they know that it's not a perfect science. So they can't really blast somebody for ripping them when they know they're going to not hit on all cylinders, on every shot and whatever they do. So it's a game, and it's part of what makes the sport great. I always appreciate when Dirk Cutter is pressed on certain stuff. He says, hey, you know, what makes the NFL great is so many people writing about it and caring about it and getting angry about it and being passionate about it. That's what pays the bills, and that's why Cutter makes $3 million a year. And unfortunately, I don't make $3 million a year, but neither do you. So maybe at least one of you out there, if you do, give me a call. I've got a podcast to sell you. No, seriously, though, we get to talk to Light, and we try to figure things out, read between lines, get information, and it's a process to try to figure out what's best for the team, how the decisions are being made. And I don't even know where I was going with this. The point is what I was hoping to get to here with my talking in a little bit of circles was philosophy. What's the philosophy? And you watch the playoffs this weekend and you saw Stefan Wisniewski playing left guard for the Eagles. Well, this was a guy who came in here for an interview and actually in the building in 2015 free agency, and the Bucks didn't sign him. He was coming off a shoulder issue. Some people thought it was done, you know, who knows? And he left without a contract. Could have been the Bucks center. Could have been a left or guard or a right guard, whatever, flexible guy. Long pedigree of a family pedigree in the NFL. Young, had just been with the Raiders. He signed for a year with Jacksonville. And then he jumped over to Philly after his one-year contract in Jacksonville. And he's been an excellent player for them. Now, why didn't they sign him? I don't know. Why didn't the Bucks sign him? I don't know. But imagine if they did. That would have been a very good fit here, assuming he didn't get injured. Now, for just give you an example how we go through some of these things, I called, got in touch with Donald Penn about Wisniewski. Penn's a friend. I asked him about the Wiz, as they know this guy. And he had a lot of good things to say about him and how he approaches the game. And here we are. But the Bucks didn't sign him. So it doesn't mean Jason Light made the wrong move, but it's just interesting when you look at the philosophy of how this team was being built. I don't know why they didn't go with Wisniewski. You've also got Jamon Meredith out there in the playoffs. Perhaps the most intriguing question in Bucks history here as it relates to yesterday's playoffs. Patrick Omame. Omame was here in 2014, second-year player. He starts every game at right guard, so we gave him all this experience, all this coaching from George Warhop. Was here then. Dirk Cutter wasn't, but Warhop was. We give him all this coaching, all this experience, and what do we get? Jason Light says, we don't need him anymore. And he disappears. He goes to Jacksonville, and I think he had another stop first. Doesn't matter. Point is, now he's the starting left guard for Jacksonville, which is in the playoffs. He's out there mauling. They've got a strong running game. I've looked into plenty of about Omame. They're fine with him. He's not a liability. Why couldn't he stick? I mean, this was a young player who we had 16 games of film on. Now, at the time, I talked to somebody in the know at One Buck, and I said, hey, this was maybe February of that year. I said, hey, I kind of like Omame. I think, you know, I watched the film, went back and looked at the All 22, and my non-professional eye says this guy's got some promise. No, don't like Omame, and there he goes. So what's going on there? I don't know. It's just interesting to see the evaluation of these guys and how it is so hit or miss as we get into this time of the season. Mike Remmers, he was in the Bucks camp. He was a Shiano guy brought in, was on the practice squad, was plucked away, and turned into an excellent player for the Vikings. And then you look at what happened in 2014 with his team. We go into training camp, first one with Jason Light and Lovey. We go into training camp with O'Neal Cousins and Jamon Meredith. They're going to play guards for us. And they were brutal. They were terrible. Josh McCown was getting clobbered in preseason. It was getting dangerous out there. And Jason Light makes what really amounted to a panic trade to New England for Logan Mankins. And Jason Light coughs up a fourth-round pick. He coughs up Tim Wright. And Logan Mankins comes in here, has a terrible year in 2014, bounces back, is a great influencer, and is a good player on the line. Goes to the Pro Bowl in 2015. The Bucks lead the league in rushing, you know, top two tandem with Doug Martin and Charles Sims. And then Mankins retires. Okay, so it was nice to have him here. It was good, but why was he even here to begin with? And it just goes sort of on and on. It becomes very interesting when you look at that fourth round pick that the Buccaneers gave up to the Patriots. That became Trey Flowers, who is a very good defensive end for the Patriots. He starts averaging 7 sacks per year over the last 2 years. Good football player, showed up in the playoffs. And all these moves sort of intertwine. Anthony Collins coming in for Donald Penn, them giving up on Jeremy Zuta and bringing in Evan Smith to be the starting center when he's just not really much of a run blocker, and then bringing back Doug Martin. With that, when you want to have a running game and you get a Lovey-style guy, you've got Dietrich Smith back then brought in from the Packers, and he's not a run-first guy. He's more of a pass-blocking center. I don't know what the philosophy was of all these things, and some of these decisions are one thing in the moment, and they're another thing afterwards, but I'm just trying to wrap my head around what are the Bucs going to be, what are they really trying to accomplish here? And what scares me is I'm not sure that there's a real answer. I personally have lost a lot of trust because of what happened with Doug Martin, because of what happened with his team at defensive end this year. When you went into last year, when I at least had the clear belief that, and Lee, that this team needed running back help and defensive end help, but they didn't get it, and everything imploded because of that. But why couldn't those guys see it? And then we have to trust the whole process from, you know, it lost a lot of trust. And there are many fans out there who have lost trust for a lot of reasons, and I get it. I'm not telling you to love this team and its decisions. I get that you're a fan and you want some hope and you want to feel it. Hope might have appeared in a new coaching staff, at least a few new coaches, right? I wasn't screaming fire Dirk Cutter, but at least in a few new coaches would have been hope. We're used to hope this time of year, and we don't have a lot of it. So it's got to come in Mount March, but I'm not sure the Bucks are going to go that route. So I don't know. We'll see how they spend, see how they progress. I still think, though, they've got to make some bold moves here. Bring back this coaching staff without some bold moves doesn't make a lot of sense. But maybe you bring them back because you don't want to make bold moves. You want to have I don't know. I don't know what the overarching thing is, but I do know the podcast is done. We got stuff to think about. We got stuff to talk about. We'll be back on Monday. Appreciate all your support. Discount Garage Doors, Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford, and Hyundai. Support them, dgdoors.com, lakelandford.com. Don't forget your $500 discount off your lowest price on any new vehicle at lakelandford.com. And we'll see you next week.